Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. And before we get started this evening on a very interesting topic, I need to take time, as usual, to thank everybody who's been not only a part of this show, but also thank you to you, the listener, who has been tuning in and trying to grasp things about the paranormal that you either may agree with, may not agree with, The most important thing to me as putting together this show is to bring forth to you something for you to think about. I do not have all the answers. I do not claim to have all the answers. I do know from my own experiences what I can bring forth to you that I know to be as real and factual as possible. But from every perspective regarding where do we come from, you know, how do we know where we go when we die, blah, 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 those types of questions, I don't think anyone out there can truly answer that. I do know that in watching some of these paranormal shows that they try to bring forth in a way to help educate you about the paranormal. There are things that I have also experienced in the same manner in which they show and demonstrate. And if, of course, there's something that I don't quite agree with, I'll bring it up and I will talk to you about what I experienced instead. But so far, it seems like there's been quite a repetition when it comes to certain things that the paranormal does and things that the paranormal apparently won't do. And I could have a whole show on that in and of itself. Common ground, seeing similar things, understanding what can, cannot be done, interpreting what you see before you, interpreting what you don't see before you. All of these things are interesting to those of us who study the paranormal. But tonight we're going to talk about a different topic. And tonight we're going to delve into something that most of you who are listening haven't really engaged yet in your thinking about it, probably because some of you are very young, some of you are just getting started in your mature lives, and some of you have thought about this. And of course the question is what happens to our soul if we decide upon our death, when that might be? Do we go towards cremation or do we go towards burial? And that has been a question that has been talked about and discussed by many with their perspectives about it from all different standpoints. Religion being probably the firmest foundation of that standpoint, and their beliefs about what they should do with their disposal of their body or our bodies. And then there's the other theories out there about what really happens to the soul regardless of what we do with our empty shell or our body. So I wish I could look into a crystal ball and I wish I could tell you, no, this is what you should and shouldn't do, but I'm not going to do that because I'm still trying to make those types of decisions even for myself. But I'm going to bring forward to you an interesting program, something for you to think about, and something that you might, may or may not consider in your thought processes just based on people's perspectives and theories about the topic. Before we get into our topic tonight, I'm going to take just a very quick break right now, and then when I come back, we will start. And again, thank you again for listening to this show. I hope most of you would get some value out of it, and most importantly, think about your lives in a way that extend beyond just, you know, here and now. Be back soon.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on PRX.
And we are back. Well, I think I want to start out this evening by an experience I had when I went to see Sylvia Brown years ago. This is she has passed. I can't remember how many years she's been passed away now, but something that she had struck me in a way that I never forgot was about first of all just her interpretation of how we came to be in our own realities of our world. And she had talked about the fact that, you know, before we come into this life, that there is actually somewhere a file cabinet. And in that file cabinet, there is a folder on each of us. And in that folder on each of us, she claims that it tells the person all about what their life is going to be like. And also in that folder, I think if I remember this correctly, she said that that we would be picking our folders of what we thought or wanted our life to be like, to learn the lessons we felt we needed to learn, to go through experiences we felt we needed to go through. Well, I don't want to be disrespectful to her thoughts on the file cabinet, although I have heard this file cabinet theory now probably just a couple of times, and I still am leery about wanting to buy into it 100%, even if it may even be absolutely true, that I decided to select from my folder the life that I am currently living. And so there are things that I would object to. I would probably give back in some way my file folder and say I want somebody else's. But all in all, I find that to be a very interesting thing. And of course, the file folder also predicts and has listed our death date, the manner in which we will die, etc., etc. So I don't know what else to say about that other than I've never forgotten about hearing that, and I just thought it was absolutely strange. And why would, you know, some of us don't have such bad lives that we're living, and some of us are not in the, you know, in the reality that we wish we were in. And so I don't know, I'm on the fence about it, just because I sometimes I'm like, yeah boy, I picked a good folder, and sometimes I'm like, gee, I picked a really crappy folder. But regardless, that is apparently in her viewpoint how we came to be in our existence, by picking our file folder. So, you know, throughout the years, you know, you meet a lot of people, especially in this field. And everybody has a perspective, and everybody has a different theory, and everyone has a different angle. And in some cases, they really, really seriously believe everything that they tell a person. And we have so many theories and perspectives being put before us that it's very difficult sometimes to put our finger on something and go, oh yeah, that's the one that I believe in the most. Because then someone else will come along and then they'll give you their theory, and then another one will give them their theory. And it just seems like we live in a world of perspectives and theories and opinions, I guess, if that's what you want to call most of this. And so anyway, usually that's why we have this thing called free will and free choice. Because the decisions that we make in our lives bring forth our lives. And sometimes in a good way, and sometimes you can make the best decisions possible. You can do the right things, and you can everything can be lined up just the way you believe it to be. And in the end, you feel like somebody didn't hold to their end of the bargain. And I can't recall who mentioned this recently, but it was somebody who said, I went to my religion classes, I believe in God, I do the right things, I am nice to people, I try to be an honorable citizen, and yet in the end I get very screwed and I don't feel like I'm getting the benefit out of what I was promised in this life. And so sometimes this brings us to situations where we start to doubt religion, we start to doubt just our lives in general, and we're not quite sure, you know, ultimately where all this leads to. Well, I think you know as well as I do that, of course, we are born into this world, and of course we will die leaving this world, or in some cases some of us will stick around this world. So, the topic I'm going to talk to you about tonight is the topic of where does our soul go if we decide to get cremated, or if we decide to get buried traditionally, a traditional burial. And I tried to look up many different perspectives on what people thought, where our soul goes, or what happens to our soul when we make these types of choices and decisions. And some decisions are made based on religion, and some choices are based on psychological being at the time, and some of them are actually made because of money. And it seems to me like, and I think most of you would agree, that it seems to me like what rules our life the most sometimes isn't even our beliefs about things. It's the almighty dollar. Because the almighty dollar, what we do or don't have, seems to dictate to many of us how our lives turn out. And the dreams that we have, especially during our life, either surfaces to accomplishment, or it just surfaces to despair. And in those cases where some of us leave us a little bit earlier than expected due to despair, and the decisions made about whether or not their soul gets cremated or buried traditionally brings about questions about, you know, the care of the soul in the afterlife. So let's talk a little bit about some people's perspectives here on what happens to our soul. I'm going to start out with a source who talks about this, because they are directly involved in the burial process. And of course, they have people coming to them all the time wondering, should I be cremated? Should I be buried? And what happens to my soul? I can tell you that in this day and age, that choice can be very interesting amongst couples. I've known people who, in their relationships, one would be buried traditionally, one would be cremated, yet they would be next to each other. I know of someone who was cremated, and their container for a urn was a Cool Whip container, and their ashes dispersed amongst family members in separate Cool Whip containers. In my recent visit to a mortuary, not because I'm dying, but because it's part of the process of getting my life lined up. You know, I'm getting on in years, but you know, you have to start thinking about this when you reach a certain age. I was shocked when I discussed with the funeral person what kinds of urns they had, and of course I was brought into the room and pointed at the free box, which was nothing any different than a shoe box, nothing any different than a cardboard box you'd be mailed in, two boxes sitting there. And he had said to me, and if you can't afford to have any kind of an enclosure, we would put you in these boxes, which are complimentary. And I just sat there and I stared at the boxes and I thought, you know, is this the way I want to go? Or is this the way that, you know, if you don't have any money, that you have to go, but at least you have some kind of an enclosure. And then you're put back into the ground without a vault around you, and you disintegrate with the earth over time. And even if you were placed from a cremation standpoint into an object, anything, it could be your special box at home, it could be anything. A vase, you can choose. What I found interesting is that they will place that straight into the ground and cover it up with dirt, and there won't be, unless you want a vault around you. The vault is basically there to help in the aspects of maintenance on the ground, because you know there's so many. Graves that are sinking in because they never had vaults around them back in the day. And so, but that's really what the purpose of a vault is all about. It just helps make it easier to mow the grass and maintain the grounds than to constantly fall into, you know, or in some way, a burial spot that, that has no vault. But anyway, so in talking with this man a little bit, we didn't really get into the belief factor very much, but these are the things that I've read about here that that it talks about. So, cremation. I'm reading something here where people are concerned that if they get cremated, they will feel the pain of the burning. And so there are various beliefs regarding the amount of time, not only that the spirit removes itself from the deceased body before people feel that the soul is also being burned up in the cremation process. And some people believe that the spirit is torn apart immediately after death, while others believe that the spirit drags on for quite some time before leaving. And so, in some cases, people believe that they will feel the pain when their body is incinerated because they feel that their soul is still clinging to the deceased body. But the truth of the matter is, according to many, that after death, your spirit is not trapped in your lifeless body, but rather the astral cord is broken from your body, and that rises out of your body. And once your astral cord is broken, it cannot, your soul cannot re-enter your body. Now, my question to that, of course, is what's interesting about the astral cord is that for those who have died and then come back to life, that have actually been pronounced dead and then come back to life, the concern would be, at what point do you know that the astral cord has completely snapped away from the body? Because if someone were to have a near-death experience and be clinically dead, but then all of a sudden come back to life, you know, what's your time reference there? So my guess is that if you're going to be incinerated, first of all, cremation, according to many, does not affect how it reacts on the soul. And secondly, I would imagine that if the astral cord, it says, that is connected to your body, once it's severed, your spirit is separated and cannot go back, where your entire conscious mind and soul winds up in your spirit and soul, and the only thing you can do at that point is to look back on your lifeless body, and you won't have any more physical interaction with that type of world, because that world will be over with. I was listening to somebody the other night. I cannot remember his name, and I apologize, especially if somebody knows who I'm talking about. He was talking about how he heard about I think it was James Dean. Don't quote me, but I just caught in on the gist of this. But that either he saw in his mind's eye, because he's a medium, he saw the accident in his mind, or he saw the accident. But what he also saw, he claims, is he saw the soul of James Dean when he was in this terrible, terrible mangled up accident, lifting out of his body, and then him standing there looking back at his body. But he wanted to go back into his body, so he attempted to go back into his body, but he could not. And that was the gist that I caught on that conversation he was having about, I suppose, people trying to get back into their bodies. And obviously, if you're not meant to die yet, even though you might be dead, the question again I still have to go back and ask is, well, then at what point are you absolutely sure your astral cord has been severed? And that would be my question to something like that. And so it says in this article that I'm now reading, it says, well, how long does the spirit stay around its body after death? Well, I can kind of agree with certain aspects of this. They always say that when somebody is pronounced dead, that you should be very careful about the things you say, because that spirit doesn't necessarily go bye-bye at the point that they are clinically dead. And I know this to be true in a number of different ways that I can't really explain, but I do know, and I hear it over and over again, that a lot of times these souls will, they can hear everything that's going on in the room, they can see what's going on in the room with them, they can tell you things through a medium or whatnot, that of things they heard and saw. If the medium is, by chance, a good medium and someone that really is very talented. And then the other thing is a lot of times they stand by their funeral, or at their funeral if they have one, the casket, and they basically watch as people go by, as they look upon their body lying in a casket or next to an urn with ashes or whatnot. So here it says here, how long does the spirit stay after death? Okay, so this article says it, that many do not have a clear answer of that. I agree with that, regarding the amount of time that someone might stay attached to their body. Attachment means hanging on, trying to cling onto their body, but not necessarily get back into their body. And that it all depends on a set of circumstances. Okay, so for instance, if you die suddenly in a fatal car accident, such as James Dean, you might not even have a clue that you have just died. And so you'll probably hang around your body for some time thinking that you're connected with your body, even though it's lying there all mangled up, you know. People who pass on suddenly are believed to find it hard to accept that they have encountered death. Well, that's, I mean, there's no logical reasoning that goes into these immediate impacts. Things happen suddenly, and next thing you know it, I don't know, I guess the consciousness still thinks that it's going about normal, you know, process, whatever it's doing. And so they hover around their bodies while attempting to come to the reality that they have been separated from their bodies. And then these people will only move on when the body is buried, autopsied, or cremated, because they will finally get the idea that there is actually no going back, and especially no going back inside the body. I find that interesting. Buried, cremated, autopsied. Autopsied, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd ever want to see an autopsy. I can't even begin to imagine. But it says here that cremation is safe for the soul, and that you can get cremated, of course, at a lower cost. And a lot of people, there's about, back in the day, there was only in a fraction of a percentage that were getting cremated, because many people were under the their religious beliefs as the foundation that if you do anything but a traditional burial, that God would frown upon that, and that is not what God, you know, had ultimately intended for resurrection of the body. Now, the statistics are showing that about 50-50 of people who are trying to figure out their burial situations are going in either direction. So the cremation has gone higher. One, because it's more affordable. Secondly, people are not afraid that their soul is not going to survive a cremated body and go to heaven. And that's what most people were worried about, were the myths of where their soul goes if they decide to be cremated versus going down traditionally. And so, once again, this article says cremation does not have any effect on the connection of the body and spirit, because the spirit has already severed itself from the body. The astral cord has severed itself, and when the astral cord gets severed, therefore your body is no different than any other shell that any other organism or, you know, animal on this earth leaves behind once they pass away. So I'm going to take another quick break here to rest my voice a little bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit about another perspective on cremation versus burial, one that I had never thought about before, one that I hope you'll find very interesting, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Be back soon. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. Well, the other aspect that I think is very interesting about this topic is that this perspective that I'm going to talk about right now is very, very, what do I want to use for a choice of words here? Very, very confident in what they have to say about cremation and burial regarding the soul. And so let me jump in here. This is from another source that has really gone to town on this topic. And let me jump in here to some of the things that they talk about. So when they talk about the disposal of the dead, of course, their tradition is to kind of go back to some of the roots of I don't know, not even say religion. Everybody in their own religion has a belief system about how the body should be disposed of, and then through these religious sightings, which means, you know, through the detail given as they learn about the religion, as they practice their religion, they don't believe in anything else except what they're told as to how they should traditionally dispose of their body because of the belief system in their religion. And so one of the things about cremation is that sometimes they, in this article, the pros and the cons of the different forms of the funeral rites come up because of the impact on the environment. Okay. And so in most cases, though, spirituality can be detrimental to a decision just based on how things need to be prepared and need to be performed once somebody dies. And so let me go away from this article for just a second and talk a little bit about what I keep hearing the younger generation bring up to me when I was an educator and I was around a lot of young people. They had thought about, at least initially, ways in which they would be disposed of if something happened to their body. And one of the things that the funeral director also brought up to me when I was there going through this stuff was the green burials. And you've all probably heard of what a green burial is. A green burial is basically putting the body back into the earth in a way where it becomes part of the earth and continues to either grow from the earth or be a part of even down to jewelry making. And so, you know, of course, the cemetery where I will be laid to rest, they are all for green burials now. I have not considered myself to be part of a green burial on the basis that it's just not something that interests me. But, you know, sometimes I go, well, should I be turned into a tree? Well, with my luck, the tree would be hit by lightning, and that would cause me more pain than, you know. I mean, you start thinking about all kinds of things. Do I want to be a shrub? Do I want to be... They even make people into fertilizer, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, and then they make you into an animal shape or something, and then you can go put yourself or bury yourself in a place in your garden or whatever. But, you know, the thing is that if you choose that route, there's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't have any effect on your soul, because, once again, your soul is supposed to be disconnected from the you know, your disposal of your body at any which way or any point. So, I don't know. Being made into jewelry, I know that some people talk about how they want to be made into a necklace, or they want to be made into this or that or whatever, their ashes put in, whatever. Well, it's kind of interesting, but when I was reading about this article in particular, and what can happen with what they believe to be the cremation ashes, if the body isn't properly buried or whatnot, that it can actually cause more harm than good. And I don't know, again, everybody has their theory. Nobody can necessarily prove, you know, where do we go once we die. There's many people out there who firmly believe that they know the answer to that. But there's also a lot of people out there who question that, because obviously once you die, you can't come back and go and say, I was right, you know, I knew it, that kind of thing. You can come back, but then people are always leery about, you know, those that are hanging around too. So let's look at this a little bit. So the concept of attachment to one's, they call it gross body, which means not gross in that terminology. It means gross in terms of your body intact. This article says, when a person dies, the person is unfamiliar with all the experiences of the afterlife, as you know, the region of death and what death looks like. So they also agree that the person may cling to their body, he knows, and the world that they came from, even in death, because they don't understand or know the cues of what death may look like. And so this is heightened when the body is kept completely intact, as happens when the body is embalmed or frozen for a delayed funeral. So what they're saying there in this article is that, let's say that the funeral gets delayed because it's in the middle of winter. The person will still cling to their body because they don't really realize that they are dead yet. They don't know the cues on where heaven or hell is, et cetera, et cetera. So they kind of hang around. And so they find it much more difficult to detach from that body and go on its journey, because they're not quite sure what this journey looks like. All right. Now, going back to a traditional burial just for a moment, then back to cremation, because now I'm going to get into some pretty interesting stuff even I didn't know. Basically, on the traditional burial aspect, whether you're embalmed or whatever the case may be, reports do say that the body has a tendency to start to deteriorate at about, I think they said, if you're in decent conditions underground or whatever, depending on the, you know, the conditions of the, you know, the everything, the conditions of the ground, 12 to 20 years, and then you start to decompose. Some people start decomposing sooner than that. It just depends. It depends, you know, on many factors, you know, what they embalmed you with. Do they embalm you with anything at all? You know, all kinds of things. But one of the things that everybody agrees on is that even in a traditional burial, your body does start to decompose immediately. And secondly, whether it's slow or fast. And then secondly, it starts to emit a lot of gases. Because when you're decomposing, your body is, you know, emitting these gases. And of course, there's debate about whether or not these gases go beyond the casket and stay within the vault area and circulates itself back on itself. And so I do know in a ghost hunting situation, there was people that were running around in a cemetery that they thought that they had actually captured activity. And what they had captured was actually gas that were being emitted from coming through the ground and, you know, through the ground, probably because of the type of vault or lack of vault thereof. And they were capturing that, and then they were getting these readings and thinking that it was something paranormal when all along it was just gases coming up through the ground surface. But in this particular case, this is really, okay, so let's go back to this because this is kind of interesting. So this perspective says at the time of death, gases are expelled from the dead body. Okay, everybody agrees with that. And these gases are regular physical gases such as, you know, from decay, all right, from the decaying body. And then, but also their frequencies and vibrations are negative in nature. And as a result, the component of something increases in the environment. Now, this is interesting. So you have a decaying body with gases, okay, that are going upward or within the casket. And then from that, though, the frequencies and vibrations are negative. I find that to be interesting because I'm not sure what kind of eons or ions are being emitted, and that's what they might be talking about from the body, and that they're negative, and it's, you know, there's negative and positive. Then they talk about these negative ions that are, you know, within our bodies, and they get emitted. And so as a result of that, they feel that ghosts such as demons, devils, negative energies, etc., get attached to these negative frequencies and enter the environment around the dead body. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. So if you're in a casket laying 6 feet under the ground and you're in a very good vault situation, everything is airtight, and you're emitting these decomposing gases, and it's negative ions that are being probably expelled. And all of a sudden, because of that, you have ghosts get attached to these negative frequencies that they feel this turns into, and then they go into the environment. So does that mean that when I'm 6 feet under and I'm decomposing, and all of a sudden my body turns into these negative gas emissions that attracts the ghosts that have decided not to part anywhere or whatnot, and so they're in the casket with me? I don't know. I don't find that to be very appealing either. And so this article goes on to diagram the environment of this dead body. So I'm looking at this diagram, and you have this dead body, and then you have from the dead body the emission of these gases, and then you have the fact that the field gets charged by the distressing energies. these gases. And the environment within the casket becomes polluted. And now it distresses the body. And a black smoke is emitted by ghosts, demons, devils, negative energies, etc. And they take control of the five vital and subvital energies in the dead body and try to gain control over it. Ghosts attack the dead body by gaining control over the five vital energies and subvital energies, which are in the process of being released into the universe from the body at the time of death. So in other words, they're trying to take over your soul. Well, I thought that the soul had already departed the body and has already detached. So why is there more of this in your casket? They emit black energy in the form of smoke onto the dead body, engulfing it and creating a black covering on it. This smoke is invisible, but can be perceived through one's sixth sense, ESP, and due to the attacks by ghosts, there is a transmission of black frequencies into the dead body, and the corpse gets charged with these black frequencies. I don't know, if I were you, I wouldn't even want to open up the casket at all, you know, to see this poor decomposing body, because God knows what will come out of that casket. So after the ghost gains control of the body and the five vital energies that's trying to go up into the universe, they attempt to capture the dead person. Let's see here. Ghosts use this link to get into the body, and thus, let's see, pulling of the subtle body by ghosts, pulling the subtle body of the departed ancestor. Horts of black energy. Then they trap the body into these black frequencies and impede the movement of the soul on its journey into the afterlife. Well, then that would tell me that a lot of ghosts that are hanging around just wait for people to die so they can go on in and do whatever they need to do to suck the living life out of them, what remains. I don't know. From this spiritual perspective, the main aim of a funeral rite should be to accomplish the following: minimize the attack by ghosts, help the subbody shake off its bond from its body, and to give it protection so it can go onward into the afterlife. If you choose to cremate the body and it's being burned, they feel that there's more of a protection from it from attack by ghosts, and they also feel that there's a cleansing that comes about from it because of the fact that it's being burned and there's nothing decomposing, creating these gases. But then again, you know, from talking to the funeral director, of course, the worst part, or the most pollution of a person's body, goes up in the smokestack once it's being cremated. And what remains is usually teeth and bone, and that's what gets crushed down and turned into these ashes that are presented to the family. So this is just very interesting and very confusing. I've never heard of anything before where if you go through a traditional burial and you're under the ground and you're decomposing, that all of a sudden you're at risk because you have all of these gases that are, you know, coming out of you. And because of that, these ghosts or demons or whatever seem to want to take advantage of whatever you have, your body has to offer, and blah blah blah. And so because of these, let's see, it talks about caskets are known to have sealed caskets made in such a way to keep out the water, the soil, the air, but they also succeed in trapping all the gases and the pressure in the coffin rises as the frequencies emanate, and because of that, there's this black sheath around the body, and because of this materialization, you know, they seem to attract ghosts, etc., etc. The ghosts enter the coffin and gain control again over these five energies, and it's just interesting, because what are you going to do? I mean, what is a ghost going to do with a other than inundate the and attempt to get the energy? What exactly is a ghost going to do with the body, and most importantly, what is it going to do with the person's energy other than use it to continue their journey of being trapped on Earth or to remain on Earth? Excuse me. I don't know. It's very interesting. And then this whole article has a lot of interesting pictures and diagrams exactly how this is all, how it all takes place. And I guess the only thing for me is, unless you open up a casket after, you know, being in there for a while and then you pull it up, only then would one know if there's a some kind of a black, you know, mask over the person. And even then, I think that people don't open these caskets because the gases can be overpowering and can make someone very, very sick, you know, and very, very ill. So that's why you don't see people jumping up and exhuming caskets very readily, because of all these factors. Something to think about. So there's your discussion today on ghosts, little bit, what they might do with a traditional burial, and the fact that there seems to be more protection through cremation, although that could be a plug to cremate. And, you know, everybody, it's a business. Dying is a business, you know. Everybody makes money off of everybody in every aspect of this world. So what it comes down to in the end is your comfort level in how you want to be buried, and also your spiritual connection with God, and the fact that you will be protected by these unwanted forces should they actually exist and want to do anything more with your body after you start decomposing. And that's where it all comes down to. So green burial, cremation, traditional, they all have their own thing. But something that, of course, we should all, in the end, we'll all be paying attention to, because in some way or another, that's exactly what happens here. Now, of course, remember, there's one thing I didn't bring up, which was burial at sea. And water has a lot to do with protection as well. So maybe the most protected individual is that person that is actually getting buried into water rather than any of these other realms. Because the articles do talk about how water is something you're not supposed to hang on to the ashes in your home or whatnot. It all supposed to be submerged in water, blah, blah, blah. Bring it back to the water because it has something to do with, again, the energies that could be still attached to those ashes and how they could ultimately be a detriment to actually holding on inside your home, should you have a loved one on your mantle, for example. Anyway, this is where I'm going to end the show this evening. Stay tuned and listen in, of course, as Paranormal Encounters podcast series moves forward this year, and we hope to have, of course, some interesting guests for you. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.